The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." Jesus said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. In the year 1246, the bishop of the Diocese of Liège in Belgium added a new feast to the calendar, a feast uniquely dedicated to the Eucharist and the devotion of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It didn't take popular hold in the church right away, however, perhaps because every celebration of the church has as its center the Eucharist, the offering of Jesus to the Father. But the Archdeacon of Liège, Jacques Pantaléon, was elected later as Pope Urban IV, who in 1264 made the feast day of Liège a universal feast day of the Roman Church. By this time in the life of the Church, adoration had become quite popular, in many places more popular than the Mass, because so few people actually received Holy Communion. And Eucharistic adoration seemed an alternative personal connection with Jesus. Consider the months when we were in lockdown due to COVID. We were watching Masses at our parish altars or elsewhere on screens remotely. You could see the image of the real presence of Jesus, but were unable to actually experience it or receive him. Nor could you immediately really be present to him. Some have described those months as going back to the 1200s, at a time when the physical act of receiving the host was reserved to the priest alone if it was not Easter, Christmas, or Pentecost. The unordained faithful, under the priest's care, generally contented themselves with what they called ocular communion, simply watching with devotion while the priest consecrated the host and then held it up over his head for that moment when they could see it. Ironically, it was the early Protestant reformers who tried, in vain at first, to make common the practice of monthly or even weekly communion. This seemed to most Catholic lay people as excessive. Today, the Eucharist seems to be the place where we are most divided, both among Christian denominations and the Catholic Church, as well as within our own church. The Eucharist must not be a political tool or an opportunity for division. Its purpose is to bring the unity and peace that God wills to our church and to our world. It must be a source of healing and strength for those who require the divine physician, as Pope Francis says. It is a careful balance of the utmost reverence that is due both to the presence of Jesus under the form of bread and wine, but also his presence that we encounter in one another. I have a few short reflections for today. First, in approaching the Eucharist, we must have the same humility that Jesus reveals of himself in taking the lowly form of bread, the simplest, most basic staple of life. He chooses to be completely vulnerable. He literally places himself in our hands. Our humility must acknowledge that we have done nothing to deserve him or earn him, that there is nothing but equality at this table of the Lord. No one more important or more deserving than another. It is not a time of judgment, because all of us are sinners and none of us are worthy. Second, Jesus clearly gathers us into his body so that we might be one. I think it was St. Augustine who first said, maybe not in so many words, "You are what you eat." The early catechesis of the church instructed the newly baptized to come forward now and receive what you are. Jesus' own witness of prayer the night of the Last Supper, when he instituted the Eucharist and then carried out the sacrifice of Calvary on the following day, shows where his heart was. On that night, he prayed that we might be one, as he and the Father are one, not for the sake of unity itself, though that is a good thing in itself, but that we might be one so that the world may believe in him, that the Father sent him. Our unity is itself the most powerful form of evangelization. In this area, we are not doing so well right now. With more than 46,000 Christian denominations, and how many factions within our church? This was Jesus' prayer as he gathered around the table with his apostles in the face of history's greatest tragedy, as well as history's greatest hope of the cross and the empty tomb. His Eucharist is our Passover. We are ransomed. Third and finally, we must not enter into Holy Communion as a selfish devotional practice. It is the act of a community of faith. It is Jesus who offers himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity to the Father, not to us. We, in him, offer ourselves to the Father, too. That is why we have the Mass and why it is an obligation. We literally do the work of salvation in Christ every time we gather, and he breaks the bread. This is where our intention is so important. This is my third point. When we were children, we were taught, at least when I was a child, we were taught that we could always apply the grace of receiving the sacrament to whomever we wished. Of course, we offered every communion for family members who died. We offered communion for the person for whom the Mass is offered today. Today's Mass is offered for the parish, so we could keep the parish in our intentions for the grace of this sacrament. Or at the other Masses this weekend, we pray for all the fathers listed in our Father's Day novena. We can offer the grace of this sacrament for the soul in purgatory who needs it the most. We can receive on behalf of our husband or wife who isn't Catholic and ask God for the grace of the sacrament to touch them. We can offer the grace of the sacrament for our children who have stopped going to church or who have been lured away by the world's conflicting, confusing voices. I remember once I was at an installation of a Catholic bishop years ago, and we had invited our ecumenical partners to come and sit with us at the Mass. They vested with the clergy in the clergy section. But of course, at the time of communion, only the Catholics could go forward to receive Holy Communion. I leaned over to my Lutheran pastor friend, Tom, and I said, "I will offer the grace of this communion for your intention." He looked at me funny and he said, "What are you talking about?" At that point, I hadn't realized yet that this idea of intentionality was something that had fallen away outside of the Catholic Church after the Reformation. We need to be offering the grace of this Eucharist for so many who seem so lost today. For those hungry for power who would kill thousands of people and displace millions. For the troubled youths who are shooting children in schools. For people who have gotten violent in their recklessness or despair. Humility, unity, intentionality. Last evening, I gave a blessing to our work camp teens who are going to the Winchester area this week to help the poor and elderly realize a better quality of life through their charitable works. I was reminded of what Jesus said, "Whatsoever you do for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done for me." I told them they are now to be the visible presence of Christ to all they encounter. We prayed that they will see Christ in those they serve, and that those they serve will see Christ in them. This is just about the best definition of church I can come up with today. That moment when Christ serves and Christ is served to the glory of the Father. We become the bread and wine that feeds. May the real presence of Christ we celebrate today help us to be truly present to one another.